Turning with me in your Bibles, thank you to the praise team, Sister Pinero, for leading us in worship here. The word of the Lord says in Hebrews 10 and 24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, I'm not even going to preach from that verse at all, but it's so awesome of a verse. I just wanted to read it because it's so good. Somebody say, "It's so good." Verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I want to focus on that word, assembling of ourselves together, looking at that word assembling, and then really going to preach from, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Another rendition tells us, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Another rendition tells us, the CEV rendition tells us, it says, "Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that." Notice this. "We should keep on encouraging one another, especially since you know that the day of the Lord is getting closer." Romans 8 and 28 tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Anybody love God? Class participation. Anybody love God? If you love God online, just kind of wave your hand, put an emoji there. But to them who are called according to His purpose. And I want to preach to you and talk to you this morning on this thought, because of the times. Because of the times. Would you pray? Would you lift your voices? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing. Go ahead, saints. Just begin to lift your voice. Help us to be doers and hearers of your word. Let the seed of our heart, let the soil of our heart receive the word of God, which is the seed. We know that the seed is good, God. But that word have we hid in our hearts so we won't sin against it. Go ahead, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Together. During this season that we're in, we've had to make changes. There's been lots of change, and even for those that don't like to change, they've had to change. Now, they may still have the same haircut, you know, and same bad habits, but they've had to make some changes. And We read in our scripture text this morning, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching, to encourage one another. When you look at that word together, it means to be in contact with, in a relationship or association with. When you buy something, it's in a box. It is together. It's together. But it isn't necessarily assembled. It's got to be put in its proper place or position. The pieces have to all be in the right place, and it's got to be together. The nuts and bolts of the table and the legs may be in the box together, but they're good for nothing if they are not assembled for its proper use. Now, Pastor Pinero is a drummer and a wannabe organist, but when as a drummer, we take great pride. We got the cymbals and we've got the drums. And, you know, without the drums, it's hard to keep a beat. But imagine having church just with the drums. That was all you had, just the drums. Now I know us drummers have big egos, and you know, we're in a box. They put us in a box. And probably the only one safe from COVID is the man in the box. But I say that kidding. But we put them in a box and they bang on the drums. But it's a lot more better. It's a lot more when we put a guitar in there and a bass, got a little rhythm. But then it's just that much more better when there's a piano player. And then it's just like all that when you get an organ. And then it's all that and some tortas, right? It's just all better. And then when you add a praise singer or a worship leader, or what's even the cherry on top is when you have some worshipers. All the worshipers say amen. And they've assembled together. Now the drummer's got to do his part, and he does his part, and the piano player, she's got to do her part. But when they're all working in assembled together, it's like an orchestra that is together. There's something that begins to take place, and when something is assembled, it's to bring together or gather into one place, company, body, or whole. It's to put together the parts of. We've got things in our garages that it's together in the corner of the garage or in a box, but it takes time to assemble it, and once it's assembled, it could be used for a position. You can be present but not engaged. I would even say that there's been times where pre-COVID, where we were in the building, in the actual building, but having church, but there were folks that were not engaged. And then we had the reality, well, I better not let that happen again, because we spent lots of time offline or online and outside, and we begin to appreciate and get a reality of what it means to be assembled together. And you can be online and be much more engaged than folks that are in person. It's about being assembled. Some things, when you buy it, it tells you assembly required. We as individuals with our walk with God require some assembly. God's still working on me. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we are the body of Christ. Now, I want to just hammer this down right from the beginning. I am not talking about church attendance. This is not about church attendance. This is about being engaged. This is about being assembled together with the body. You can be assembled together and engaged online just as much as you are in person. I am very comfortable I've learned to become comfortable preaching to an empty auditorium. But there's something that begins to take place when the Spirit-filled believers gather together in one accord, in one mind, whether it's on a Zoom prayer meeting where there's 40-plus ladies gather together for a devotion, or whether it's the brothers that gather together to eat tacos, or whether we're having a prayer meeting, or we're in-person worship, or we're gathered out at the gazebo. There's something about the unity of the Spirit, because we're assembled in spirit. We're in one accord in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are connected to other parts. We have the online congregation that they are just as much a part of what's taking place as the in-person. And we have ladies gathering in stronger families that takes place on Zoom. And I would even go to venture that some of those ministries are just as strong now as they've ever been. And thank the Lord for backyard Bible studies. My goodness. Thank the Lord for the RT kids, Sunday school, youth department working so hard to make sure everybody stays assembled together. 1 Corinthians 12:14 tells us, for the body is not one member, but many. You're essential to the church. The body needs everybody. When you're a part, you begin to have ownership. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 tells us, "For now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I don't like to be alone. I like to be assembled together. Now, we may be alone online. You may be alone looking at your phone. You may be alone that way, but you're engaged or assembled together with the body. There are folks that here this morning are in person, but there's a lot of folks that are online, and we are all assembled together. And the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 that two are better than one. Wouldn't you rather have $200 than $100? Anybody? Yeah. Only one person. God bless Brother Parr, a double portion. Amen. But our scripture text this morning is admonishing us. It's telling us to keep an eye because the day is approaching. What day? What day is approaching? It's the day of the coming of the Lord. It's that glorious day in which we look to and hope for. It's what, notice what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. It says, "For the Lord Himself," it's going to be Himself. He's not sending anyone else. He's sending Himself. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout," not a whisper, but a shout, "with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Notice this. It tells us, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what it says. But then it tells us to comfort one another with these words. Another rendition, the CEV tells us, encourage each other with these words. There's so much expectation and anticipation for this glorious day. You know, we see the signs of the season that we are in. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, I'm writing to you," Paul tells us, "for when they shall say peace and safety," verse 3 says, "then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." Notice this. "Ye are all the children of the light. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of Him." Why don't we do that right now? If you're called out of darkness into His marvelous light, begin to show God a praise. Come on, give Him a praise. Times that we're living in, the time and season that we're living in, is perilous. It's uncertain. Things change quick, as I've been saying for 11 months. We see sin being promoted. We see sin being paraded, glamorized, endorsed, and even magnified. But the Bible told us that it was going to be this way. Come on, somebody. Matthew 24 and 3 tells us. Notice this. Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, and His disciples came to Him and said, "Hey, tell us these things. What shall be at the sign of Thy coming? What are the signs of Thy coming? What's going to happen at the end of the world?" Anybody ever want to know what was going to happen or is going to happen at the end of the world? Anybody? But notice this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Well, I'm just going to stop and pause right there. That no man deceive you. that no husband, no scientist, no preacher, no politician. Come on, somebody. That no man deceive you. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Notice what Jesus says. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. It's going to happen. He said, don't be troubled. These things got to come to pass. Notice this. For nation shall rise up against nation. Nation, that word, we break that word down, we get the word ethos. Ethos is where we get our modern word of ethnicities. And kingdom shall rise against kingdom. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that we should be all about and for. And there shall be famines and pestilence, or what we would understand, pandemics, and earthquakes in diverse places. Notice this. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You better check yourself. You better get ready. Get right or get left. This is what it's all about. And notice this. Notice this. Now, nobody get offended. Nobody get that. Put your mask on. So even at home, so nobody sees your facial expression. Go ahead. Put your mask on at home. Go ahead. Many shall be offended. 24 and 10 says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another. That's what it says. And shall hate one another. Well, all the haters say amen. Well, no haters here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And this gospel, excuse me. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That means we're going to have to put up with all this that's taking place if we want to endure to the end to be saved. These things have to come. The sorrows have got to come. And notice what the scriptures, this is Jesus himself saying, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And this week was a very busy week for Pastor, and my schedule probably shouldn't matter to you, but it was a busy week, one of the busiest weeks I've had in probably 10 months, but as I was beginning to prepare for this and prepare for my message this morning for that other country, I didn't preach the same message that I'm preaching to you today. I preached a different message because I sought God for them. And so the Lord gave me a message for them. So it would have been easier for me just to preach this three times all today. But I wanted to make sure I gave them something that the Lord led me to give them. And so as I would begin to prepare and begin to preach and begin to work on what the Lord gave me, it hit me. It even hit me even more while I was preparing yesterday, the pre-service meeting, when the pastor told me and said, Pastor Panero, not only is it going to be our church in Lisbon, the Portuguese, the Pentecostals of Portugal there, but also there's saints and or members from Angola, Africa, which is a Portuguese speaking nation, and from Brazil, and it's crazy, and I'm thinking, you know, because 12 months ago I had the expectation that in order for me to preach in Portugal, in order for me to preach in Angola or Africa or to preach in Brazil, I would have to get on an airplane and travel, but here, right here at 3 o'clock this morning with my iPad here with an empty auditorium with all the lights turned on, because I wanted to make sure I was giving it all I had with all the lights turned on, I begin to preach the Acts 2:38 message to a church in Portugal and the people in Angola and the people in Brazil. Because of the times that we're living in, God has positioned the church to allow the kingdom to be preached for all the world to hear. And you think that we're going through some things we're not happy about, that have made us uncomfortable, it's cramped our style, it's concerning, it's a health crisis, but can I tell you, the kingdom is on the move, the church is on the move, and this gospel shall be preached to all the world. Luke 21 and 11 says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights. Used to be during Halloween time, you're just afraid of people, right? Because you couldn't tell. You know, they look like that all the time, you know. Or, I mean, you're like, oh my goodness, you know. But now you walk, you're like afraid, you know. Afraid to touch this and afraid to touch that. Afraid to go here and afraid to go there. There's a difference between being afraid and being careful and wise and smart. But these are the signs of the times of the coming of the Lord. We get a heads up. He gave us a heads up. Yes, people are confused. Yes. Mental distress and emotional weariness is rampant. But the Bible's told us so. Notice Luke 21 and 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Have you made the statement, I wonder what's going to happen next? Right? I have. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And the scripture tells us. And when these things begin to come to pass, not when they have passed. Hey. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Ha! Heaven is real. It's a glorious place. It's worth fighting for. I want to encourage somebody this morning, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day. I want to encourage you this morning to live for God. I want to encourage you this morning to lift up your heads and for your redemption drawing. I want to encourage you this morning to keep on keeping on until the end of the age, because the times that we're living in, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get offended and to get bitter. But can I tell you, in all that, the Word of God has told us that all things work together for the good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. That means we got to work together. We got to stick together. We got to encourage one another. God's doing great things. Come on, somebody. He's doing great things. He's doing so many great things that we're not even aware of what He's doing. Pastor Rodriguez told me, he said, they're on an extreme lockdown. They can't even leave their neighborhood after 1 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. That just got extended for another 30 more days. And they've been doing that for 30 days. And he tells me, you know what, Pastor Pinero? He said, I've never baptized so. He's been the missionary there for nine years. He's a disciple, a convert, but he's also carrying the mantle now of the beloved Brother Markham, who passed away, who did a great work there, who was a best friend, really, of Bishop Keys. And so Brother Rodriguez is now the United Pentecostal missionary, the main one. There's two of them there, but he's the one that is carrying the baton from Brother Markham. And he said, you know, Pastor Pinero, I have never baptized as many people like I have since the pandemic in all of my years in Portugal. Can I tell you, it's because of the times that we're living in, that people are saying, you know what, I need to get right, or I'm going to get left. I need to make sure that I have clean hands and a pure heart, because the days are wicked. The days are crazy. Things are wild. We're living through something that you would think they would make a movie about, but we're not making, this ain't no movie, friend. This is the real deal. And it's because the times that we're in, we can clam up and we can hide, or we can get out and say, you know, I want to encourage somebody that Jesus is coming. I want to testify to somebody that you can be filled with the Spirit. You can be baptized in Jesus. I want to encourage somebody that God is in control, because the times that we're in are crazy, but God is on the throne, and the kingdom of God and the gospel will go forward. You can't stop the church, baby. The church is on the move.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We serve a God that has given us advance warning. And through it all, through all the past, through the present, through the future, we've seen God keep his people together. I want to commend Revival Tabernacle for sticking together. But I got a challenge for Revival Tabernacle. Let's make sure we encourage one another. Edify one another. If you're hearing Pastor preach today and you're feeling convicted about not being together or assembled, I want to encourage you. Get it together and be engaged with what God is doing at Revival Tabernacle. Can I get a witness of the Lord has kept you? He's brought you. He's provided for you. Come on, somebody. Even when you couldn't see it, he's working it out. Even when you didn't know it, he was working it out. And he's worked it out one time. He'll work it out again. And because of the times that we're living in, it'd be easy to say, I don't know. I can't do it anymore. But I want to encourage somebody. You can. You will. God's for you. God's with you. All things work together for the good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. And Acts 2:38 is the purpose of God and the purpose of the church. Jesus, the Lord even asked a question in Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Because of the times we're living in, Jesus tells us in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves. All the busybodies say amen. There's no busybodies here. Praise God. But notice this. Notice, worry about yourself. Yeah, we could worry about everyone else, but we got to worry about ourselves. Come on, somebody. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Being overcharged is not a good thing. And with surfeiting and drunkenness. Uh-oh. And the cares of this life. I just don't have time, Pastor. Excuse me? You got the same amount of time as everyone else in the world. He gives 24 hours a day to everybody, every day. He said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. Come on, somebody. It's coming a day. This is the day the Lord has made. But there's coming a day when the trump of the Lord shall sound. Time shall be no more. And Jesus didn't stop there. But he gave us instructions on what to do. Don't you like it when you buy something and it has instructions with it? I mean, you may be like me. You don't read the instructions, right? You look at the picture. I got this figured out. It's all right. I'll go to YouTube. I'll call Brother Tony, right? We'll figure it out, right? But don't you like it at least, you know, when you know, 10 hours later, you get to go, oh, where's the instructions at, right? You look at it and begin. The Lord gives us instructions. Notice what he tells us. In Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Listen, that is something that we can encourage one another with and to say, hey, I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to pray for you. Calm down, girl. It's going to be okay. Remember what the Bible says. Calm down, dude. Homie, check. Eat another taco. Put your mask on. Talk to the Lord. It's going to be okay. Put some more sanitizer on. But real talk. Because of the times that we're living in, it's easy to get freaked out. Then you got the cares of life, right? Are the cares of life a sin? I mean, it's debatable, right? It's just work all the time. Hey, got hobbies, vacations. Those aren't necessarily sins. They're not sins, but it's the cares of life that distracts you. Come on, somebody. You know what our purpose is? It's to know Jesus and to make Him known. Come on, somebody. We have been commissioned for such a time as this. And because of the times that we're living in, it gets easy to get distracted, to get discouraged. But the Lord has sent your pastor here this morning to encourage you that forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If we got time to whine about it, we got time to pray about it. If you got time to be critical about it, you got time to cry before the Lord and pray about it. If you got time to be scared about it, we got time to have faith for it. Come on, somebody, because the times that we're living in require a church that's got its mind and its heart on Jesus and is moving forward in these last days. Notice this. Ephesians 4:1. It says, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which when you are called. Notice this, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Notice this, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. He's above all this that's taking place. Come on, somebody. And through all, He's going to be with us. He's through it all. He is not only is He above all, He's with us all, and He's in us all. The Holy Ghost that He filled you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that was not to get you to be a part of a member of a church. That has called you into the body of Christ, the body of belief. It's the Spirit of the living God that is in you. The Holy Ghost will help you live for Him. It'll lead you and guide you. It is the Comforter. The Holy Ghost is the power and the authority of God in you. He's in heaven, but His Spirit is here and resides with us, and He's in us. Therefore, because of the times that we're living in, we got to make sure we stir up the Holy Spirit, that we stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that we stay consumed with the things of God. We keep our minds and our hearts ready for the second coming of the Lord, because the times that we're living in, they're desperate, they're perilous, but it's also revival time. It's also a time for miracle. It's also a time for friends and family and loved ones that don't know Jesus to know Him. And it's time for us to make Him known. The Bible tells us, as the musicians come, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Because of the times that we're living in, we want to have all the facts, all the details. Give me the data. Give me proof. Well, let me give you something that is factual. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the other thing is, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. Come on, somebody. You know what else is factual? My word go out and it doesn't return to me void, but it accomplishes whatever its intended purposes. Saints of God, because of the times we're living in, there is opportunity for us to become distracted and discouraged. But we got to understand what we read in Scripture this morning. We got to be encouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and go back and read those verses that I read to you this morning and say, you know what? The Bible says that these things must come to pass. The Bible says that these are the beginning of sorrows. The Bible says that we need to look up for our redemption, draw it nigh. So if you literally got to go outside and look up when things get real crazy and say, well, I think it's okay. Yeah, let me call the church off. Well, don't call the church off. You want to call my phone. But and say, oh, pastor there. Well, you know what? If you're living right, you won't have to worry about making a phone call. You can say, Lord, I haven't heard the trumpet yet. Hearing aid, no hearing aid. Your earbuds on, beats on, don't matter. It says he's going to come descend with a shout. It's going to be a day like the world has never seen. We need to be encouraged that Jesus is coming, but we need to be encouraged that we know him, that I know Jesus, and I want to make him known.